We don't have much to say to people that we don't commune with every day. But the people that we spend time with every single day, we never run out of things to talk about. And so likewise, Jesus spoke to the Father daily. And so should we.
This is season 11 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an Orthodox Wesleyan point of view. God's holy word is essential to our teaching, so let's get into God's word right now.
And I would invite you to open up your Bibles, either the ones that you brought with you or the ones in the pews, and turn in them with me to the book of Luke, chapter 11. Verses 1 through 13 will be our reading today. If you're following along in the Pew Bible, it's found on page 72 of the New Testament. We are beginning a new series this week called Five Things. As United Methodists and members of the local church, when we join the local church, we each promise to fully participate in the ministries of the local church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. These five things are crucial for the growth of a faith community and the furthering of the kingdom of God. And so throughout the month of October, we will be looking at each of these five things and how we can fully participate in the ministries of the local church by them. Let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. Luke chapter 11. And verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. When we promise to faithfully participate in the ministries of the local church by our prayers, we are saying that as members of the local church, we strive to undergird every ministry by praying for its success. Now, success in the secular worldview means riches and wealth, popularity and fame. But in the kingdom of God, it means giving glory to God in all that we do. God receives glory when lost sinners are saved. It demonstrates his goodness, the richness of his mercy, the depths of his love. And so when we pray for our ministries as a body and individually as members, three things occur. First, We are aligning our will with God's will. When we pray, "Thy will be done," it is not giving God permission to do his will, but acknowledging that God's will is perfectly carried out at all times. And so praying for his will to be done means that we will participate fully in whatever he calls us to do. Second, we are aligning our will with each other. We are all praying in the same direction, petitioning God to be glorified in the ministries of the local church, that lost sinners would be saved. It means that we are agreeing together toward a common goal, making disciples of all nations, beginning in our own backyard and reaching outward to an entire generation that is increasingly secular and godless. Third and finally, we are submitting ourselves to God and pledging our bodies to the work. We are preparing the fertile soil of our hearts and minds to receive the good seed of the gospel and to yield an abundance. We are saying to God, "Here I am, send me." And through prayer, we prepare our feet to go where God sends us and our mouths to speak the word God gives us to speak. A praying church is a growing church. A praying church is a loving and welcoming church. In short, a praying church is a church that loves God and neighbor and seeks to save that which is lost. We have the heart of Christ, our good shepherd, and we invite others to follow him. In this text today, we read that Jesus was praying in a certain place. Even Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, remained in constant contact with God the Father. The technical term for the relationship within the Trinity is perichoresis. It is a rotation. It's actually what the Greek word perichoresis means. It is a rotation because the three persons of the Godhead are constantly in communion with one another, and there is a relationship within the Trinity that we cannot describe or understand on this side of heaven. The perichoresis of the Trinity involves intimate connection between all three persons of the Godhead. And so in John chapter 14, Jesus was asked by Philip, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Show us the Father. Show us the Father, Lord, and we'll understand everything. And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." And so there's this relationship in which God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all inextricably linked together, each distinct in person, yet one in essence and being. And yet here was God the Son on earth praying to God the Father. And if Jesus himself would pray to the Father, then so ought we. It's interesting, I've mentioned before how we can have a relationship with someone and be with them day after day after day and never run out of things to say. And yet we could run into someone who we haven't seen in years and we might run out of things to say within minutes, seconds even. "How are you doing?" "I'm doing well. I've been working at my job. See you later." We don't have much to say to people that we don't commune with every day. But the people that we spend time with every single day, we never run out of things to talk about. And so likewise, Jesus spoke to the Father daily. And so should we. The more we talk to God, the more we will have to say to God, the more he will have to say to us. So verse 1, he was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Jesus exemplified prayer for his disciples. They wanted to pray as he prayed. They wanted to know, because it was common in that time for a rabbi to teach his disciples how to pray. They weren't asking to be taught the words to say, but they were asking, how do we pray? How do we pray? Jesus, unlike in Matthew's gospel, in this instance, gives them a prayer to recite. Notice that he says, when you pray, say. Speak these words. Speak these exact words. And so that's why we as Christians commonly, at least weekly, and often more often than that, will pray this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, for we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We all know this prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's the prayer that the Lord taught to his disciples. And we read it in Matthew. In Matthew, he says, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. And so in Matthew, when he's teaching from a sermon to a crowd of people, he says, pray like this. Here, when his disciples ask him directly, teach us how to pray, he says, say this. Say these words. Father. Now, the Greek is actually our Father. It's interesting because by calling God our Father, we are saying that we are all siblings under God the Father. If we are God's children, then we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Our Father. Jesus invites his followers to know God as their Father. And it indicates a closeness. It indicates a love bond that is familial. The bond of a father to his children. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. The word hallowed means to be set apart, to be holy. The name of God is glorified and set apart. This is the first petition in the prayer. The first thing we ask of God is that his name be set apart and glorified, that God would be known to all as Lord and Creator. The first thing we ask for is that God's name be hallowed. The second thing we ask for, your kingdom come. The second petition is for the kingdom of God to be established here on earth. God's kingdom is without borders and exists in the heart of each believer and all of us collectively. So we haven't even asked for anything for ourselves yet. We've asked that God be glorified, that God's name be hallowed, set apart, that his kingdom be established here on earth. Finally, the third petition is, give us. But what do we ask for God to give to us? Give us each day our daily bread, just as God sustained the people in the wilderness for 40 years by raining manna from heaven for them, by providing for them a large number of people, nomadic people, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and God sustained them and provided for them every single day. He didn't give them an abundance for them to store up, but he gave them what they needed each day. And if they collected too much, it would get moldy and useless, which forced them to rely upon his daily provision. Give us each day our daily bread. We don't ask for riches or fame. We ask for our daily needs to be met. Forgive us our sins. The fourth petition is for forgiveness, with an acknowledgement that we are also to forgive others. Understand that there is no debt that we are owed that is equal to the mountain of debt of sin that God has canceled for us. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. Do not lead us into temptation. Do not lead us into sin. God does not tempt us, nor does he lead us into temptation, but by his Spirit we are able to resist the temptations of the world. And so this is this prayer. He said, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial. Now, Jesus then goes on to tell them a sort of parable. We'll call it a pseudo parable. He says, suppose one of you has a friend and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me, for the door has already been locked and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So he tells this sort of a parable. It's not the friendship or the love that causes a person to answer a request at midnight, but only to satisfy the person so that they will go away. Now, God, he's not saying that God is like that. In fact, he's contrasting God's love to our reaction to the situation. What he's saying is, God is infinitely patient. God is infinitely loving. God is infinitely kind and good. And he will give freely, out of the abundance of his love, his grace, his mercy, his kindness, his goodness. He says, this person's going to give him what he needs just to shut him up and send him away. God's not like that. What's implied here is what Jesus is going to say in a minute, which is, how much more? If this is how we treat our friends, not because we love them, not because we want to provide for them, but just to shut them up and go, make them go away, how much more will God give? Because God is good, and God is kind, and God is gracious, and God is loving, and he doesn't give so that we give go away. He gives because he loves. He's in telling this parable, Jesus is contrasting the love of God who responds to each prayer, no matter day or night. Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and gone on your knees and prayed for something that was urgent at that moment? Or have you been up, kept awake by some urgent need and gone to God in prayer? He heard you and he answered you. Not because he was being bothered by you, but because he loves you. In verses 9 and 10, we read, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given you, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks the door will be opened." On the tail of this pseudo-parable, Jesus says, you don't have to be persistent with God. He'll answer you out of the goodness of his heart, out of his love for you, out of the grace and mercy, the depths of his goodness. He answers you because he loves you. These words, ask, seek, knock, they're increasingly persistent verbs of requesting. We ask and we receive, we seek and we find. We knock at any time and the door will be opened. It's a demonstration of the incredible love that God has toward his creation. He's not driven as people are by importunity, but he responds with grace to every petition. Then in verse 11, he begins another, we'll call it a pseudo-parable. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you, then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus is again contrasting human nature to that of God. If we who are fallen and wicked can respond in kind, how much more will God do, who is perfectly loving and just and kind and good? God's gift of the Holy Spirit to believers far outshines the gift of a fish or an egg. It is the very Spirit of God dwelling in us to make us more Christ-like day by day. And so God responds to prayer. And so as a church, we need to be praying to God for the success of the ministries of the church. Everything that we do needs to be undergirded by prayer. We need to first, before we set out to endeavor anything in God's name, we need to seek his will. We need to seek his face and say, is this what you want us to do? I've mentioned before that there have been many ministries that I was very interested in joining, in working toward, and God shut those doors because he didn't want me there. He wanted me here. And if I had taken on any of those ministries, I would not have been available to be here. So when Jesus was asked by his disciples to teach them how to pray, he gave them a particular prayer, one that we still pray to this day. The next time you pray the Lord's Prayer, I want you to think about each and every word, not just to recite it from your memory, but to feel it deep within the bowels of your heart. To fully participate in the ministries of the local church by our prayers means that we are committed to praying for the furthering of God's kingdom here on earth. And that means that the ministries of this church be used by God to shed the love of God abroad to every human heart, to proclaim the good news of the gospel to a world plunged in darkness, and to give glory to God in every instance, lifting him up publicly and worshiping him corporately. As members of the local church, you have promised to participate in the ministries of this church by your prayers. And that is a powerful thing indeed. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we pray for the ministries of this church, that we would continue to proclaim Christ and Him crucified as we have for so long in this community. Those who came before us prayed for this body here today, praying for future generations to know your love through Jesus Christ. Hear us now as we pray. By your Spirit dwelling in us, remind us throughout the day to pray for the ministries of this church, that the gospel would be proclaimed, that lost sinners would be saved, that lives would be transformed, and that you would be glorified. For we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. I hope that this teaching has blessed you as much as it has blessed me putting this message together. God has also blessed me by calling me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn and Hudson United Methodist Church in Petricktown. If you live in the area and don't have a church to call your own, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings for Bible-based and God-honoring worship. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m. and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Sunday school available and Bible study during the week. Now, this podcast is self-funded and we never ask for donations. It reaches people all around the world, but it could reach more people if you do a couple of things, and it won't cost you a penny. First, subscribe to the podcast and our YouTube channel. Leave a comment and also like the podcast. That puts the podcast in front of more people so that the gospel may reach them as well. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will listen to Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.